Thank you for tuning in to Aster Investment Management's podcast series. A reminder to our listeners that a lot of the economic data and commentary is available on our smartphone app in the iOS and Android App Store. Just search Aster Research and download it today. This week, our Chief Investment Officer, John Eckstein, and Senior Managing Director, Mac O'Brien, discuss the current economic outlook in the era of COVID-19. Thank you both for joining us today.
Welcome back to another edition of Aster's Economic Week in Review. With us, we have Aster's Chief Investment Officer, John Eckstein. John, how are you?
I'm great, Mac. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you. Sibila, thank you for the introduction. All right, John. So we're going to talk a lot about big picture stuff this week. You know, as of every Thursday, we had jobless claims came out today. The story was somewhat similar to previous weeks where it was still a very big number of people filing for unemployment, but the trend was in a downward direction, which is a positive. And we talked a lot last week about the jobs report. Really, we talked about it within an hour of it coming out. So there wasn't a lot of time for you to digest it. And as the week progressed, there's a lot of people, whether it was online or on the newspapers or different media outlets, talking about the validity of the report. Is the data kind of cooked? Now that you've had more time to digest that report, give me a quick summary of where you think the labor market is from a integrity standpoint, and then let's transition into some of the big picture stuff.
Okay, so as far as like the integrity comes, like that's not something that you should take seriously. You shouldn't have taken it seriously when people are saying it under Obama. You shouldn't be taking it seriously now, right? The numbers are fine. I mean, they're confusing, but that's the numbers' fault. That's not somebody cooking the books. Like basically, there's so much detail that they give out, it'd be impossible to cook the books, basically. It'd be
right. Let's talk about the economists, right? Getting, you know, there was a huge disparity between the jobs report, between what the expectations were and what it came in at.
Economists had, you know, a 8 million job miss or something like that, which is a lot. And I think it's that there's just a lot of flows in both directions in the labor market right now, right? So last month, 8 million people got jobs, that's good, but 5 million people lost jobs, that's bad. And right. You know, we don't have as much insight into the high frequency job creation, right? When people lose their jobs, they can file for unemployment claims, but they don't, you know, send anybody an email when they get a job. And so, you know, just quickly, this week's numbers for the jobless claims were about the same as last week. We do see a reasonable number of people coming off pandemic unemployment assistance as of the week ended May 23rd. And hopefully that's because they got jobs and not because they got kicked off for some other reason. But the numbers are still large. The magnitude is about the same as they were last week, right? So this week's number was 1.5. Last week's number was 1.6. And again, a year ago it was 200,000. So the numbers are extremely large. They're getting better, but slowly. And then we can think about, you know, the other piece of the labor market, like I said, we didn't have a ton of insight into, but we do have some, is like, when are people getting hired? And so you can look at like job postings and stuff like that, the volume of job postings. It's hard to know how those are going to map into hires, but you do see that creeping up. You know, that's another of these weekly indicators we've been talking about, which are seeing slow but steady progress from the lows of mid-April.
Okay. Okay, great. So let's take that, John, and transition into the big picture. I mean, one of the things that you wrote to me in terms of comments for this podcast was suppression versus recession.
Yeah. And so the labor market is a natural way to think about it, because we've talked about it for the last couple of weeks in terms of, I think the way I'm thinking about the economy right now is there's two things that are happening. We had a suppression event where everyone said, okay, everybody has to stay home. You can't go to the movie theater. You can't go to college. Everyone has to stay home. So that's a suppression event, and that is being lifted. But then there's a second order effect, is that the suppression event is creating a recession. Maybe, maybe not. But like, it seems like the suppression is leading to a recession. That's why there's two different sort of peaks going on, and that's why the situation is especially confusing. Like, if you can imagine that flatten the curve picture that we all saw in March when we decided we were going to stay home.
Yep.
Remember that curve? So you've got
time. Like 3 years ago, not 3 months ago, but yeah, I remember.
Oh my God. Oh my God. You're telling me. You've got time on the x-axis, and you've got a very high peaked distribution close to the origin, so on the left. And you've got a wider peaked on the right distribution. And so I think that you can imagine that those are two distributions of job losses, right? The higher peaked one was the one that came all of a sudden because everyone decided to stay home. And then the shallower one, and we don't know how high it's going to be and how wide it's going to be, is more of a normal recession where, you know, the firm dry cleaner, you know, ends up closing, or the restaurant ends up closing, the movie theater ends up closing, fires people, they spend less, and the normal sort of recession thing. So I think it's going to be very tricky over the next several months, hopefully not this next few years, but certainly over the next several months, to distinguish between relieving the suppression and forget about it if we start having to have, you know, short-term lockdowns again, but, you know, getting out of the suppression period and then trying to distinguish that from the recession period.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've talked about it on previous podcasts, so we're not going to beat the tree with a bat, but it's, you know, personal saving rates are up, and I know there's stimulus stuff in there, but it points to, and I like that analogy of that chart, because we don't know how many jobs are going to be lost or what companies are going to do once they operate at 30% capacity or 50 or even 60 or 80% capacity when their profit margins are 15, 20%. And how do you then keep your doors open? So yeah, you know, we've been talking about, you know, we'll just have to wait and see for the past several weeks, but it is interesting. And that was a great analogy to that chart, because it's something that everyone can relate to.
Next up is probably talking about the Fed. The Fed had their meeting this week. What do you think the most important thing Jay Powell said is, Mac?
I think what the market reacted the most to, or what was, you know, you're going to be near zero for quite some time.
Right. So specifically, we're not even thinking about raising rates, right? That's what he was trying to, that was the message he was getting.
And it's interesting because that's something that it's, you know, historically you could look back and those are positive things for equity prices, but it's almost now that the market is in its own head, because they say, okay, well, if he's saying this, that means that he's super concerned about the economy. So he knows he can't raise rates for a long time because the economy is that bad. So then the market trades down, right?
Yeah, that's certainly one interpretation. Like, the Fed doesn't have any secret information, right? They have a lot. They have 1,500 PhD economists, and they're all super smart, but they don't have any secret information that we don't have. And like, everybody should be able to know, like, what's going on. And he's not giving any different numbers than consensus polling of economists would give you. So just to recap, the Fed rates are zero. They're going to stay zero probably until 2022, right? The Fed has reduced the amount of assets it's buying, the bonds it's buying, but it's not going to reduce it any further for a while. What's a while? I don't know. Months, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Months at least. So the Fed also sees unemployment rate at 10% at the end of the year. That's a median projection. That is actually almost exactly in line with private economists' projections. I don't know if there's a sort of herding going on where people, you don't make your own forecast, or one input into your forecast is what everybody else is forecasting, and that can make forecasts less accurate, but, you know, it seems reasonable to me. You're right. He also was a little gloomy about the state, the likely output of the economy. That's two ways of saying the same thing, right? Like, saying unemployment is going to be 10% at the end of the year is also saying, like, the economy is not in a good space. And finally, he did talk about the need for more fiscal stimulus right now.
So I didn't read between the lines there, John. What are you thinking in terms of the next stimulus package? I know you're not a politician, you're not on the Hill, you're not, you know, in those meetings, but what are your thoughts on all that?
So, I mean, as always, we have to break this down into two things: what I would vote for and what I think is going to happen, right? So what I would vote for would be another, you know, $1,200 stimulus check, honestly. Like, send one of those out to everybody. That's what I would do. That seems like it kept everybody afloat. People's incomes went up, and we need it now. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. Like, one of the most important things is support for state and local governments, we've talked about. There doesn't seem to be a ton of consensus from the Republican side on that. And the Republicans definitely have to agree. You know, I think the White House line is that we want to see how the current stimulus is working out before we change anything. And I don't know what the time frame is for that. Though I do think that honestly, like, I think if the stock market was down another 10% from here, then they would start thinking about it more seriously.
Mm-hmm. Another big question is the of all these people filing for unemployment, getting, you know, their unemployment checks from the state plus the extra $600 per week from the federal government. I mean, that's a big deal for spending habits and, you know, people being able to pay for their COBRA insurance as well as continue to spend and spur the economy.
Yeah, that's scheduled to run out in July, right? I think that the analysis I've been reading had said that people were thinking that that would continue at a lower level, but we'll see. I think, you know, there's a lot of things that are going to happen between now and 6 weeks from now.
Got it. John, before we wrap up our comments on the Fed, obviously we need to include the CPI number for the week and inflation, or which is inflation. What are your, run us through that real quick.
Yeah, so CPI, you know, is basically no inflation over the last year. You know, you could criticize this number a little bit today because part of it is that, you know, the price of stuff that people isn't using, gas, is going down. The price of stuff that people are using, flour, is going up. So it's possible that this number isn't perfect because of the rapid changes in spending habits, right? It's hard to control for that. But the Fed's not worried about inflation. I think they've actually even been pointing out that the Fed hasn't been able to meet its inflation target in the last several years on a regular basis. Like, since they announced a 2% inflation target, inflation hasn't been, you know, half the time above 2 and half the time below 2. Mm-hmm. It's been always below 2. So, you know, I think the Fed is worried about its ability to generate enough inflation to sort of lubricate things. Of course, you don't want too much inflation, but a little bit. Inflation has arguably been too low since the global financial crisis, mm-hmm. and that seems to be the case today, too.
Let's talk about next week real quick, John. What are we keeping our eye out on for next week?
Next week's going to be, you know, actually an interesting week. We get a first Michigan sentiment number for June. That's a June number. We like stuff that's timely. We'll get retail sales. I think we know pretty much what that's going to look like. It's a May number, you know, but we expect those to be up from their really low April levels. We'll get a little bit more housing data. And then we get claims and a couple of smaller Fed surveys.
Well, we'll wrap that up. Everyone, thanks for listening. John, as always, thanks for joining us. And have a great weekend.
Thanks, Mac. Talk to you soon.
See you, John. Bye.
To learn more about Aster Investment Management's research and strategies, please visit us on the web at www.asterim.com or stay up to date by following us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and our app is also available on the App Store and Google Play. Thank you. Aster Investment Management, LLC, is a SEC-registered investment advisor. All information contained herein is for informational purposes only. This is not a solicitation to offer investment advice or services in any state where to do so would be unlawful. Analysis and research are provided for informational purposes only, not for trading or investing purposes. All opinions expressed are as of the date of publication and subject to change. They are not intended as investment recommendations.